I have lived a life that for the last 40 years I've had to ask God daily, not just once a day, Lord, what do you want me to do? Shall I say it? When I had superiors who told me to do things and my conscience told me were contrary to the will of God, what else could I do? Well, go back to the superiors, smile, very gentle, very kind, but say, sorry, I cannot do it. If you don't do it, you'll be fired. Sorry, Father Provincial. Then fire me. Oh, the big thing book I could write on the experience of being fired. We ask another question. What is Christ's warning about reaching heaven? He tells us, no one enters the kingdom of heaven by words, but, as he says, by doing the will of my Father who is in heaven. Thus, we're being told, our prayer is indispensable to obtain the grace. We must hear it. We, you, individually, and I, we are the ones who finally determine whether we will reach heaven or not. We must cooperate with the grace of God. Now, a question should be asked. Are we sure that God listens to our prayer for His grace? I can tell you, life can be very difficult. It is most difficult when to what we consider God's will is so demanding that we are told to do what others are not doing, and we are told to do it even though we have no other example except the example of Jesus Christ in doing it. Do we get the grace? Yes. But let me add, in St. John's Gospel, he says, if anyone does the will of God, God listens to him. In John 9:31, want your prayers answered, especially to do the humanly impossible, you must do God's will. If you don't do God's will as generously and with God's grace you can, then you will not receive the strength to do God's will. We pray for grace, as we should. God will give us the grace. But then, the most important adverb in any language, but then, we must do God's will. Otherwise, we shall not obtain the graces we need to continue doing the will of God. And then a question on which whole of our life depends. What is the most powerful prayer of petition we can make to God? It is the prayer of the Holy Eucharist. This is why we are told to receive Holy Communion. Remember, we said this. At least every day. Where in the Holy Eucharist is the one to whom and with whom we are praying is the incarnate Son of God. When I'm speaking this way to you, I must say I presume some things. I presume that your life is not always easy. I presume that God makes sometimes humanly impossible demands on your will. I presume that you realize you've got to beg God for the strength to keep going. And that strength, I repeat, is available only to those who regularly, frequently receive the living God in human form in the Holy Eucharist. Over the years, I've written on all kinds of subjects. One of the topics on which I wrote was the need of communion for sanctity. And as I keep living on and see what I see, that conviction becomes daily more deep. Without frequent communion, you cannot. I'll repeat the verb. You cannot live a good Catholic life. Cannot. And people think you're pious. So what? It is Christ Himself whom we receive in the sacrament of the Eucharist who can finally give us the strength we need in today's humanly impossible world to live in. I'm sure you've heard this before. The first three centuries of the Christian era were the age of martyrs. To become a Christian in the early church meant to expect to die for Christ. And they did die. And hear it. The record is, for the first 300 years, most Catholics received Holy Communion ogni giorno, every day. You might say they had to. In today's world, you're living in a, shall I say, a reincarnation of the early church. Never in the history of our country have there been more priests leaving the priesthood more bishops unfaithful to their calling, more once Catholic schools are not Catholic even in name. You go to Mass on Sundays, and I'm told by the people in Detroit where I live, I cannot, they tell me, Father, I cannot any longer attend Mass in my parish church because of the way the priest behaves, or what the priest says, how the people behave at Mass. All we are asking to do God's will is Christ Himself is doing the will of His heart. Yes. Christ in heaven is perfectly conformed to the will of His Father. We need that. Thy will be done in the church as it is done in our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Unquote, St. Augustine. I used to tell retreatants to live a good Catholic life has never been easy. But on the eve of the 21st century, I can change the statement to the will of God is not only not easy, it is, and I mean this literally, it is humanly impossible. We continue. And with this, we'll begin and close. We ask our Lord to give us this day our daily bread. What we acknowledge in this mysterious petition, we recognize the goodness of God who makes His Son to rise on the good and the bad and send His rain on the just and the unjust. What are we praying for? Asking God to give us this day our daily bread. First of all, we express our solidarity with the whole human race. What are we asking for? Are we praying for bread? We express our trust in God. Give us our life, also provide, hear it, for both the material and the spiritual nourishment we need to remain alive, both physically and spiritually. And do we ever need nourishment to keep alive spiritually in our day? At this point, I'd like to make a few observations. In the modern world, all kinds of people enter our lives. Our employers, our co-workers, people we meet, friends, relatives, and so on. Whatever resolution you make during this retreat, I beg you, make a list of the people with whom you will be friends. Watch what you say if you're right. Or some of this may not even be able to be written down. I know what I'm saying. There may be members, dare I say it, of our own family, with whom, of course, in the practice of charity, we are to be kind. We should choose our friends. Whatever you do before the retreat finishes tomorrow, in God's grace, make a selective list of those with whom you will be specially and consistently friendly. May not want to write the list out. Don't go around and tell people. Jim or Jean may not know this, but you're not among my list of friends. Use your head. We are deeply influenced by those with whom we associate. What a difference between being friendly with someone, allowing that someone to shape our lives. It's not easy, believe me. Being kind and gentle and patient with everyone. But in God's name, be selective. Selective on those with whom you are not only on speaking terms, but persons whom you allow, hear it, allow to shape your life. They may be important people in your life. They may be people whose judgment you are to follow. I live too long, too many years, with too many superiors, not know what I'm saying. You must be judicious and selective among those whom you are friendly with, whose example you follow, and whose lives you pattern for yourself to imitate. And this, my friends, is not easy. What a safe statement. What is our Christian responsibility to those who are living unholy lives? And there may be persons in our own families. I've been a priest now for 52 years. I've talked too many hours with too many fathers and mothers, brokenhearted over the behavior of some of their children. I repeat, be kind to everyone, but never, never compromise. And that's easier said than done. Living as I do with others, I know what it means to live one's life according to God's will as I see it and do what I believe God wants me to do even though no one else does it. Oh, the patience we need, the forbearance we need, the wisdom we need. That is why, to close this meditation, how we need constant guidance from God in prayer. Lord Jesus, we beg you, direct our minds every moment of the day. Whatever we do will be done according to your will, because we have the wisdom to ask you, Lord, help me. I want to know what your will is for me now, at this moment. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Copies of this talk are available from the Institute on Religious Life, P.O. Box 41007, Chicago, Illinois 60641, or call area code 773-267-1195.